Welcome back. I didn't see you there. It's Richard Seleski. And you found politics doesn't have to suck, but it does. It's the number 3 broadcast on Spotify. I'm lying. It's not. It's not. We're like 4,000. But we're growing and we're getting there. And today we're going to have what I consider a very serious discussion about critical race theory. It needs to be talked about in a non-emotional way because it is a valuable tool. But we're going to discuss how to fail at promoting critical race theory. But more importantly, we're going to discuss how to succeed at promoting this very valuable tool. Because people simply don't understand cold hard facts. They have their ideas and they run with it, and no one's going to change their mind because everyone is putting their emotions, they're putting their emotional filter out there and letting somebody else dictate to them how they should feel about this. When you deserve an honest interpretation of what's going on. Now, we're going to discuss 2 articles. One from Columbia Law School and one from Harvard. And they fit together in the overall scheme of what our end goal is, which is to better understand critical race theory and how to properly promote it to people. Now, the first article is titled, What is Critical Race Theory and Why is Everyone Talking About It? Dated July 1st, 2021 from columbia.edu. We'll do a quick review of the article. Critical race theory is making national news headlines, and 3 pioneers of the academic discipline are Columbia Law professors Kimberly Crenshaw, Kendall Thomas, and Patricia Williams. Now, Republican lawmakers in more than 20 states have introduced or passed legislation that would directly target the principles underlying critical race theory by banning schools from teaching about structural racism. Okay. That's not what the laws are about. The laws are not about banning schools from teaching structural racism. But okay, you're allowed, it's your article, you're allowed to write it. Now, these efforts to demonize critical race theory are gaining traction more than a year into a national reckoning with racism following the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the ensuing protests. Speaking at a conference held by the Faith and Freedom Coalition on June 18th of this year, former Vice President Mike Pence said that critical race theory is racism. Senator Ted Cruz at the same gathering compared the theory to the Ku Klux Klan, saying the curriculum is every bit as racist as the white supremacist hate group. Critical race theory, the senator says everyone, every white person is a racist. These campaigns are not just based on ignorance of how critical race theory developed, it is now applied, but also represent an attempt to stoke a reactionary resistance rather than a broader understanding. No. How critical race theory developed is completely incidental. I meant well doesn't justify punching you in the face. Your intentions are completely incidental. Mistake number 1 on how to sell critical race theory. Back to the article. Critical race theory and the essential scholarship it has advanced may challenge many long-held views, but that is what makes this work so urgent and necessary, Columbia professor Lee Bollinger. I could not be more proud that it is taking place at Columbia. This is, after all, what makes universities such vital institutions in society. In the finest tradition of Columbia Law School, our brilliant faculty were among the foundational thinkers and continue to lead the dialogue on this vital issue, said Gillian Lester. Dean and Lucy G. Moses, professor of law. Their scholarship, teaching, and advocacy have illuminated the pervasive effects of structural racism in our society and in the law. They have persisted in the face of hostility and outright falsehoods. Is testament to the vision and determination. Now, you see, this is where they have a good foundation for promoting critical race theory. It's not about the person. It's about the structure. Critical race theory has a foundation that it can be presented on, promoted on, that doesn't involve the demonization of a race of people. It's not you, buddy. It's the system. We're working on the system. That's the foundation that critical race theory needs to build on. But we'll see an issue here in a second. Critical race theory was a movement that initially started at Harvard under Professor Derrick Bell in the 1980s. It evolved in reaction to critical legal studies, which came about in the 70s and dissected the idea that law was just and neutral. Over time, the movement grew among legal scholars, mostly of color, at law schools across the country, including UCLA, where Crenshaw lectured on critical race theory, civil rights, and constitutional laws, and later at Columbia, where she was appointed a full professor in 1995, alongside Williams, a former student, research assistant, and lifelong mentee of Bell's, who is now a professor of law emerita. Although the scholarship differs in emphasis and discipline, it is united by an interest in understanding and rectifying the ways in which a regime of white supremacy and its subordination of people in color had an impact on the relationship between structure and professed ideas such as the rule of law and equal protection. This is very inflammatory. Better way of saying this, and we'll get to that in a second. Put simply, according to Crenshaw, who coined the term intersectionality, which refers to how different forms of discrimination can overlap and compound each other, critical race theory is a way to talk openly about how America's history has had an effect on society and institutions today. That's it. Keep with that theory, and we can build upon that. There's a structural issue about the system that is unjustly impacting people of color today. There's a conversation worthy of having. Back to the article. We need to pay attention to what's happened in this country and how what has happened is continuing to create differential outcomes so that we can continue to become the democratic republic we say we are, Crenshaw explained. We believe in the promise of equality, and we know we can get there if we confront and talk honestly about inequality. There you go. But here's where it goes off the rails. Critical race theory essentially forces legal scholars to ask questions, she continued. For instance, why does possession of less expensive drugs carry higher jail sentences than more expensive drugs? Could this have anything to do with the fact that more people of color are in prison? It's not the cost of the drugs. Are you kidding me? No one can be that ill-informed. The cost of the drug is incidental. It's the damage the drug does. The cost of the drug is incidental. Why even bring that up? We're discussing crack. It's obviously crack. Crack is dirt cheap. You can pick it up on, from wealthy schools, white schools in the suburbs, to the most dangerous inner city areas in the country. Crack is everywhere. The cost of it is incidental. Back to the article. It is a way of looking at laws role platforming, facilitating, producing, and even insulating racial inequality in our country, ranging from health to wealth to segregation to policing. Critical race theory views race, law, and policy as tools of power. Now, here's where it goes completely off the rails. For parents or educators who, according to GOP lawmakers, say that white children are being made to feel guilty and being taught that white people are oppressors, Thomas replied, that is not, by any stretch of the imagination, an idea or tenet behind critical race theory. To the contrary, critical race theory recognizes that racial inequality and exclusion hurt all Americans, whatever our race or color. In the famous Brown decision, the Supreme Court emphasized that education is the very foundation of good citizenship. The families and teachers who oppose the attacks on critical race theory know that we can't censor classroom discussions about meaning of race if we want to prepare young Americans for the responsibilities of democratic citizenship in our increasingly diverse, multicultural society. Furthermore, said Thomas, the people behind this legislation are trying to prevent the emergence of a broad movement of multiracial democracy to address the interconnected economic, social, and political inequality that is devastating poor and working class communities of all races. Okay, let's run with that. Let's switch over to the Harvard article on cyber.harvard.edu on a site called The Bridge, Critical Race Theory. Critique of liberal anti-racism. Derek Bell, for example, wrote a controversial critique of the desegregation litigation strategy of the NAACP for failing to put quality of education ahead of racial mixing for students. Who cares about the quality of your education? It's all about quotas and numbers. Boy, it does seem to be about color. Liberal law reform tends to treat racism as irrational, aberrational, and intentional, according to race consciousness in any form is bad, even when advanced by people of color. Affirmative action can be defended by conventional liberal lawyers only as a short-term, limited remedy that departs from the ideas of objectivity and merit. Critique of whiteness. Critical race theorists reject the idea that race has a natural referent. Instead, it is a product of social processes of power. People do not have a race, writes Kendall Thomas. They are raced, unveiling the legal, social, and cultural operations by which people are assigned and invested with race, with races, is one central project of critical race theory. They urge recognizing race, not as an inherent characteristic of people, but instead a product of social practices. Because unconscious as well as intentional practices, construct racial status, stereotypes, and practices. Legal reforms must address unconscious practices as well as intentional ones. Here's the money quote. Again, from cyber.harvard.edu in an article in the site The Bridge. Exposing and dismantling the usually invisible privileges of white people is a related major focus of critical race scholarship. Ian Haney-Lopez traced how unspoken assumptions about whiteness informed crucial Supreme Court decisions in immigration and citizenship cases and defined who would be eligible for whiteness and who would not. Richard Delgado exposed how criminality tracks images of the non-white, despite statistical evidence that crimes by whites is more serious, more common, and more hurtful. Richard Ford explored the use of colored line to demarcate urban and suburban spaces in property, land use, and local government of violating laws. Cheryl Harris developed a conception of whiteness as property, a resource of considerable value, an investment receiving massive legal protections. Derek Bell suggests that law schools resist hiring professors of color beyond token numbers in order to maintain the white character of the institutions. Which one is it? Is critical race theory just about systemic racism? Or is it about color? Is it your melanin level controls your role in society? If you hit this spot on the melanin chart, you're a perpetrator. If you hit this spot on the melanin chart, you're a victim. Back to the article. Because critical race theory argues that imperial objective voices of law so often veils the perpetuity or the perpetuation of racial hierarchy, many of these scholars celebrate personal, passionate voices in their voices and teaching. Narratives infuse their work, autobiographical, fictional, and allegorical. Critiques of popular culture and contributions to it also characterize critical race writings. At the last paragraph of the article states, Opponents of critical race theory argue that the work substitutes emotions for reason and self-dealing for fairness. Randall Kennedy specifically responds to critical race theorists who have argued that law reviews and law schools silence people of color. Instead, argues Kennedy, the relative paucity of legal scholarship by people of color and the low numbers of law professors of color reflects low productivity, poor quality work, and failures to work hard enough. Critical race scholars have responded that Kennedy wrongly presumes that academic discourse is open to any scholar of merit. These scholars maintain that law schools, like other places of power, reflect and reinforce traditional hierarchies of racial power. Which one is it? Is color the only thing that matters? If color is the only thing that matters, we are going to be held responsible for the sins of our fathers. And if you're going to hold people responsible for the sins of their fathers, you're setting yourself up for heartache and failure. We all want the basic tenets of critical race theory to work. The last article from Columbia, this is about racial justice. For Crenshaw, the legislative efforts are scapegoating. The idea that anti-racism is racism against white people has got to be the oldest talking point in their playbook. There's not a thing happening today that we have not seen before, including the ascendance of racial demagoguery on the anti-democratic, authoritarian, and nationalist impulses of a population mobilized through the discourse of aggrievement. We saw this backlash against emancipation, equating equating issues with critical race theory with pro-slavery? Not the way to sell. The way to sell critical race theory is the system's broken. Ma'am, sir, whoever you are, we don't blame you. We're not saying you're bad. We're saying the system's broken. Let's take an honest review of the system and see what kind of changes can be made. Let's reduce this to a sales pitch. If you walk into your client and tell your client, are you stupid or just racist? How long do you think you're going to have before that person says, get the hell out of my office? If you walk into a client and say, we've noticed something. There's some issues in this system, and we think we can help you with this system and not only improve your life, but the lives of everyone, all of the stakeholders of your company. Which argument do you think is going to get more traction? If you want help with true inclusive leadership to promote critical race theory, give me a call. Critical race theory at its core has a very valuable seed in it, and it's being buried by people who don't know how to promote it. Let us help. We want critical race theory to succeed. Give me a call. I'm Richard Selesky, Transcontinental University. Have a good day.